Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf dalet. We're going to start from a few lines from the bottom of the Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins six lines from the bottom. Taima b'kosav rachmana aleha. As you'll recall, yesterday the Gemara went into some detail here on the Amid Beis. What is the source? What is the makor for the din that if chas v'sholem, a person passed away and left over a surviving brother, where we know that generally the halacha is the surviving brother is supposed to either be miyaveh the almana. We're talking about the person who passed away left no kin, no children, but he did leave one or two wives behind as almanos. What's the din? The yavam, the surviving brother, is supposed to be miyaveh one of the women who are nebuch almanos, known as yavamas. One second. If, however, says our Mishnah, one of those women that normally would be eligible for Yibam or for Chalitza happens to be an Erva, such as the Bitoy, Bas Benoy, any one of the 15 that we enumerated in our Mishnah, not only is there no Chiv of Yibam, in fact, there's an Isur upon the Yavam to go and marry his own daughter or his own granddaughter, any one of the 15 Arayas. Similarly, he is ushered to go Miyabim any one of the other women that has fallen the Yibam, that's or that has become an Amana because of the halacha of the Tzoras or Erva. The question is, where did we take this from? How do we know this? Where does it say in the Torah? Yesterday said, because it said in the passing, Isha lechoysa leisikach litzra, legalis ervasa aleha bechayeha. The Gemara said that the word aleha is ibarik, it's superfluous. And therefore it comes to tell you, adrosha. Here it says aleha. And then there's another passage that says that when chas v'sholem, a person passes away, yavama yavai aleha. So I learned one aleha from the other aleha to go and tell you that when is there a din of yibam if there is no Isha elachoysa, where there is no erva situation. But if there is an erva situation, then there is no mitzvah of yibam, no mitzvah of chalitza, not only on the erva, but also on the tzar. That was yesterday, bekitzur, the drasha. Yes, sir. Denis.
My question was, so his wife had no children. She didn't bear any children, but his other wife
said he had no children. She could have had children from an earlier marriage. Mm. He had no children. He passed away without children.
So from all of his wives, he had no children.
Correct. Including Sprint, including Chani, including Gnendel. No, he had no children from anybody. That person who passes away, if he had a surviving brother, is supposed to go and be miyabim, one of the almanos, unless we have a case of an erva like we had in our Mishnah.
Can you just refresh, what's the takeaway from aleha?
The takeaway from aleha is that we have an extra word aleha in the pasuk of Isha elachoysa leisikach. This pasuk is telling you that you're not allowed to go and marry two sisters. Says the end of the pasuk is an extra word aleha, which is unnecessary. And by yavam, that if chas v'sholem a person passed away, those of you that want to know the pasuk din miluo, the entire pasuk says in the pasuk, ki yeshu achim yachdov. You have two brothers that live together. Together it means at the same time. Umeis achad mehem, and one of them died. Uven engloy, and he has no children. Loisia eshes hameis achutzli izar. The surviving almana should not go and marry just a stranger. Yavama yavai aleha. The yava, meaning her brother-in-law, should go and marry her. And he should become the yavam. She's the yavama, a marriage made in heaven, and they get married. And then the pasuk says, if he doesn't want to, then you go through the chalitza process. Now the question is, it says in the pasuk of Yavama Yavi Aleha, and by the Isha Lachos it says Aleha, just like you're not allowed to go and marry your sister-in-law, you're not allowed to go and be miyabem any one of the arroyos. So if the Yavama that fell to the Yavam was his bitoy, bas benoy, bito, bas bito, chamoise, em chamoise, any one of the 15 enumerated in the Mishnah, there is no din of Yibam or Chalitza.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So now the Gemara says, Taima the cause of Rachmana Aleha. How do I know that the person has no din of being Miyabim, any one of the 15? Because of the Aleha. Without the oleh, havamina, achois isha miyabemes. Then I would have thought that without oleh, that even though the surviving wife is achois ishtoi, in other words, he is married to his wife, and this is his wife's sister, and you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So without the oleh, I would have thought you can be miyabem that extra sister. My timer, based on what logic? Because you would probably say, Asi Esay, you have an Asay, the Asay is Yavam Yovi Aleha, that a Yavam is supposed to be Miyavim, his former, not his former, but his sister-in-law, the wife widow. Of his, the wife, the widow, but the widow of his late brother. Domrin Asi Asay, Vidochi Loises, and it pushes away the Loises of the love of Loisikach, what it says in the Pasuk of here, Ish Lechoisa Loisikach. So that's what you would say, the Esay trumps, supersedes the Loises. And that's why I need the aleha aleha to tell you no, don't go miyabim the isha lachoisa the achois ishtay. When do I say an asay goes and trumps the loisese? Dafke in a case where the lav is a regular, simple, normal lav. However, this is a supercharged, heavy-duty, heavyweight lav. This is a loisese sheyesh baikareis. Anybody that marries any one of the Arroyos, who lives with any one of the Arroyos, which are enumerated in Parshas Achrimois and Kedoshim, at the minimum, these are all Lavet Sheyesh Beikaris. Some of them even have Nisas Bezdin, but all of them have a Lav Sheyesh Beikaris, and the reason is because it says in the Pasuk, Kikola Sheyas, Mikola to Eves Ve'ela, Ven Nechris, which is the din of Karis. Serbizoi, a Lav Sheyesh Beikaris, Mi Dochi. In other words, what the Gemara is telling us is in Hilchos Asay Doicha Loisa Asay, it's only a regular Loisa Asay, but not a Loisa Sheyesh Beikaris. So that's Kasha number one. So what do I need the Aleha Aleha for? I know that you cannot be Miyabim Achois Ishtar because this is a heavy duty Lava Lava of Sheyesh Beikaris. Azui Freit the Gemara. That's Kasha number one. Now the next one is not really a Kasha; it's really more a Shaila. And the Gemara is saying is, you premised your question by saying that I know that an asay is doicha regular loises. But how is an asay doicha a loises sheyesh beikaris? Frey Gemara, in fact, how do I know? Vesu loises a greater mean nolan de dochi. How do I know that your regular ordinary lav, an asay, is doicha that lav? Where do you take this from? Where does it say? And from here, for the next couple of blot, the Gemara is going to go a little bit off on a tangent, leaving normal Hilchos Yibam and Chalitza. We're going to deal with in Yonim of Asay Doicha Loisese. So the Gemara says that the first Rai that I have in Asay Doicha Loisese, in Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk in Dvarim, in Parshas Kiseitse, Loisilvash Shatnes, Tzemer Ufishtim Yachtov, and then the next Pasuk says, Gedilam Tasaloch, Al Arba Kanfis Ksusra. So you have two Psukim back to back, one of them saying, don't wear Shatnes, we all know what Shatnes is, and the next Pasuk says, and don't forget to wear Tzitzis. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu put these two Psukim together? L'choira, they're unrelated. You know, they're both related in the sense that you're wearing something. But here it says, don't wear shatnas. And here it says, go and wear tzitzis. What do I learn from this? Says the top Rashi. I learned from this that you're allowed to wear kilayim v'tzitzis. You're allowed to wear shatnas v'tzitzis. And in fact, in the good old days, when people used to go and wear tcheles, I'm not talking about some people that wear tcheles today. I'm talking about when everybody wore tcheles many, many, many years ago, because the Torah says you got to go and say Al Kanfik Suscha Psil Tcheles. You got to wear Psil Tcheles. Tcheles, as we'll see in Mitchum on the Amid Beis, was always made out of wool, and a talis or a talis cotton often was made out of pishdon, meaning out of linen. So by definition, if you're going to have a linen garment and you have twisted on it the wool threads, you're going to have shatnes. How can you chesed chas v'shalom hayin shatnes? Oh. That's the asay doicha loisese. The asay is gedilim tasaloch. Go and make tzitzis. There's a lav of leisilga shatnes. The reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu put the two psukim together is to tell you. Asi asay v'dochi loisese. Look at the top Rashi, leisilga shatnes. V'samach legedilim tasaloch. V'doshin and smuchim. Smuchim means the fact that these two psukim are next to each other. V'sharinon kilayim etzitzis. Alma asi asay v'dochi loisese. Ah, so we've answered our question. You wanted to know what the mokar is. Esse doicha loisese. Kilayim Mitzitzis. The Amr of Lozer. So Reb Lozer now reinforces this idea and says, Smuchim and Atayri Binayim. How do you know that you even have the right to go and Darshan Smichus? Smichus means when you have two psukim next to each other. Shinemit says, Naposik in Tilim, Smuchim Ra'adli Oilam, Asuyim Be'emes V'yosher. What does that mean? That smuchim, psukim which have been placed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu samach next to each other, and you darshan it, those drashes are emes v'yosher, that's truth and the righteous way that you're supposed to do. So we see that there's in fact a very strong basis for this type of limud, the smuchim one next to each other. The Amr of Sheshes Amr of Loza, Mishum Reb Loza ben Az, Harye, Minayin Liyavav Shenofel Lefnei Mukashchin She'ein Choismen Oisa. How do I know that if Chas V'Sholom, the Yavoma Nebuch, the widow who wants to be Nisyabim, the only one that's available to her, that is the surviving brother, unfortunately is a Mukashchin. Mukashchin means someone who is unfortunately someone that is very repulsive because he has a problem with lice or similar stuff. Lice is really kinim. Shchin means some other... Sorry?
Boils?
Boils. Okay. Some other bodily problems, some other deformity.
Something else repulsive.
Isn't it one of the 10 plagues?
Yeah, it is one of the 10 plagues. But this in particular individual never was in Egypt, but he's never Mukashchin nevertheless. So the point is that the wife, the widow says, it's bad enough my husband passed away. If I have to live with that Mukashchin, Chas V'Sholom, I'm not going to survive. I can't. So if she falls with Nei Mukashchin, how do I know She'ein Choismen Oisa? The word Choismen is borrowed from the next line, Leisach Soim Shar B'dishay. But really what the word Choismen means is that we don't force her to go and marry and be Nisyabim through this Mukashchin. How do I know Shnei Mukashchin? Because in the next pasuk, Leisach Soim Shar B'dishay. Again, these two psukim are back to back, one next to the other. V'samach Leik Yeshvu Achim Yachtov. And therefore I go and darshan smuchim. What's the smuchim? That there's a din of yibam. But just like it said, v'sachshim shabadisha. V'sachshim shabadisha means that you're not allowed to cause pain and agony to a shor, to an ox, when it's in its dayish, when it's going and doing threshing. So what does that mean? V'sachshim, you're not allowed to put a muzzle on the animal. You have to allow the animal to go and chew and eat from the grain, the graze, yeah, whatever, from the grain that it is now in the process of threshing. So therefore the word leisachsa means don't muzzle, don't close it up. You have an edge of also that if you can't go on a particular road, they put up machsom. Machsom means that it's now a road block. So you cannot block the shore from eating its tayish, so you cannot block this woman from refusing to go and marry this mukashchin. How do I know this drasha? Because of the fact that these two psukim are together. Yes.
So just the woman has veto power when it comes to, levirate marriage?
That's a very, very good question. Clearly in the case of Mukashchin, our Gemara says, yes, she has the absolute right to refuse. The Gemara Mitzvah and Aflamit Tes Amid Beis is going to go into this in greater detail. And Rashi over there says, it doesn't have to be such a terrible case of Mukashchin, even if it happens to be another very valid reason. She can't just simply say, I don't want to marry him because I don't like the shape of his nose. It has to be that she has a valid reason that she cannot live with him, that he's a disgusting person, a repulsive person.
I was thinking like in reverse, like if she burns his toast, he can divorce her.
That's the end of the session, Gittin. Mitch, and we get to Gittin, we'll talk about that more. Yes.
Yet, isn't it true also that a Yavam can force himself on the Yavama against the will? And basically consummate a marriage requiring her to get a get to escape. So
that Yevom Yevoyah Leah about Korcha is correct. This Gemara later on, I think it's Choftes. Shall we get to it? But this Gemara trumps that other Gemara. In other words,
this is Docha that Gemara.
Exactly. Okay. If he's a Mukashchin, then the Bezel will say, sorry, fella, we are not going to enforce Yevom. Rather, give Chalitza to your wife. To your wife, to the widow, to the Yavama.
So this whole thing of showing examples of a mitzvah aseh is doche elot aseh.
Yeah.
They're going to try to apply that to Yavamas?
We're not only going to try to. The Gemara said that without the aleha, I would have thought that a father should go and be miyabim his own daughter or his own mother-in-law. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, that's the worst thing could happen. But anyway, I would think that that would be permissible because of the asay of yibam, the lois asay of any one of those arayas.
But it isn't.
But it is. You know why it isn't? Because it says aleha, aleha. That's exactly the reason why. And miyad fishem. It's going to start approximately 8:30, give or take 5 minutes or 2 minutes. By the way, my pleasure.
Standard.
If you want a coffee in the meantime, you have coffee downstairs, my friend. You're welcome. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So now, this case of the Yavomim at the Mukashchim at the Lishachim, this is not a case of Asay Doichaloy Sase. Because if it would be an Asay Doichaloy Sase, it would say just the opposite. That the mitzvah of Yibam trumps the Loises of Lishachim Sharbadisha. All the Gemara is trying to show by this drasha is that there's an inyan of smichus. Smichus meaning that there are two psukim together. Don't think that they're just there haphazardly for no apparent reason. There's a vada, very deep reason for the seder hapsukim.
Is that juxtaposition?
Juxtaposition. Good. The Amr of Yosef. Afil amandali dorish smuchim bi alma. We will find shortly that there's a famous Rabbi Yehuda that throughout the Torah does not darshan smuchim. In other words, the fact that the two psukim together, he says, may have very wonderful, beautiful reasons, but you cannot learn any drasha from it. But Mishneh Torah, when you find it in Devarim, then Dorish, then you can darshan it after all. Man Nishtana, why is Devarim different than the rest of the Torah? Naturally, Gemara is going to talk about on the bottom of the Omid, as we'll see shortly. But in the meantime, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that is the hangout, as they call it, that does not agree to smichas. We call it Torah. When it comes to Devarim, he holds, yes, we do darshan smichas. Where do we find that? Dehar Rabbi Yehuda mi alma loy dorish. Mishneh Torah dorish. Ube alma mi nolan loy dorish. How do I know? The sign it says in the Braisa. Ben azayoy min nemer mechashef loy sechay. Ben nemer ko behema, ko shoych ben behema, mois yumas. These are two psukim back to back in Parshas Mishpatim. So the first pasuk says, mechashef loy sechay. Don't allow a witch to go and live. Now we don't mean a witch in a colloquial sense, we mean a witch who's a woman who engages in sorcery. She's not allowed to live. In other words, it's a greater iser to engage in black magic and sorcery. By the way, it doesn't have to be in mechashefa, it could be a mechashef. But Rashi says in Chumash, the reason why it's in mechashefa, because normally most of the people that engaged in witchcraft were women and not men. Okay. But never mind, the next one says, so now the question is, when it says, does that mean Misa B'Dei Shamoyim? Does that mean Kores? Does that mean any one of the four Misois Bezdin? Since right next to it, I have the pasuk of Sheikh Mahim Mois Yumas. Some, you know why the two are there together. Ma Sheikh Mahim Beskila, just like Sheikh Mahim has a din of Skila. Ah, Mechasheva Beskila. Now, how do I know Sheikh Mahim is Beskila? It doesn't say it in this pasuk, but Rashi tells us because we have another pasuk in Vayikra Chav, where it talks about a woman that lived with a behema. The pasuk says, the Mayem Bam. Where is that pasuk? We'll look it up quickly in Vayikra Chav. No, I don't have the Vayikra Chav. This is Gemara. Maybe it has it over here. Likely. Kenish Bissin. Vayikra Chav. For the cause of Mishnah. Well, no, it doesn't say. Okay. Oh, Shkoyech. Yiddish. Shkoyech. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't say it.
I know you didn't.
You know, I was thinking.
I know. Okay. Okay. We have to check it, but we have here a pasuk in Kedoshim, the Isha Asher Tikrav El Kol Behema L'Riva Oisa, a woman that wants to live with an animal. Can you imagine how deranged? I don't mean the woman, the behema wants to live with this woman. But after the Isha Vesa Behema, then you go and kill both the Isha and the Behema. Moisu Masu De Mayhem Bam. Wherever it says in the Torah De Mayhem Bam, as the Gemara is going to tell us, it always means skila. The word demay and bum are always, that's a euphemism for the word skila. So getting back to our Gemara, So if you look at the Rashi about halfway down, a little bit up before halfway, which we just read, wherever it says the Mayim Bam, the Gamrin mi Oivi Yedonya, it says by Oivi Yedonya, Yirgamo Isam, the Mayim Bam, it says, Evan, Yirgamo Isam, the Mayim Bam. So I see the Mayim Bam means Skila. Okay. So the Tanakama ben Azai of this price says, how do I know Mechashev and Beskila because of the smichus of the two psukim? Omle Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, V'chinam neisha samcho inyan loy noitzi zel leskila, just based on the smichus alone, we're going to decide in giving skila. That's really a very difficult thing to say. The two psukim are together, give skila. Ella, I agree with you in halacha that a mechashefa gets skila, but not because of the smichas. Ela oy v'yedoyni bechal mechashvim hoy. The oy v'yedoyni were both part of kishav machas. In other words, oy v'yedoyni are two specialists in kishav. They don't do generic general kishav. They do special oy v'yedoyni kishav, which involves going and raising the shamas from upstairs and the evil demons and ruchay zoy. Exactly. Okay. V'lama yatsu. Now, why does the Torah isolate Oiv Yedoni from the general parasha of Kishav Mechashefa? Lahakish lahem aloy malach ma Oiv Yedoni beskila and Mechashefa beskila. This is based on the famous rule, like Rashi says, that kol dovah shehayah b'chlal v'yatsa min ha'klal l'lamed loy l'lamed al atzma yatsa and l'lamed al klal kula yatsa, because I have a befeirish pasuk legabi the case of the Oiv Yedoyni, that is a din of the Mayim Bam. Now, where is that? Again, at the end of Parashas Kedoshim, the final pasuk. The ish oy isha kiye vehem oiv oy yedoyni mois yu masu, put them to death. How? Ba'evan yirgamu oisam the Mayim Bam. Ah, so this ba'evan tells you that the Mayim Bam means skila, and you give skila to Oiv Yedoyni. And Oiv Yedoyni are just specialists among the Mechashefois and Mechashvim, and therefore just like they get skila, Mechashefo also gets skila. So although Rabbi Yehuda agrees totally with Ben Azai on the outcome, he disagrees on the makor, on the source. Because Ben Azai says, I learned it from smichus, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Chas v'shom, because of smichus you're going to go and kill somebody, can you say? So it's based on the Dovah Shoyi B'chlal, the Yotzim and Aklal. That's the case of the Oiv Yedoyni, and therefore we learn to Mechashvim generally.
But Yosemi, Oven Yedoni or Yosemi Naklal, meaning different than
This is a general rule. This is not specific to our Gemara. That any time you have a general rule, right, and then the Torah goes and extracts one or two of the people in that group.
Particulars,
fine. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu go and extract them and make a fuss about them and give them a special pasuk on their own? To go and tell you, not that this halach only applies to them, but it applies to the entire group, the entire fraternity. So you have your sorority or fraternity of the Mechashvim or Mechashefois, and then the Torah says, don't let them live. What type of misa do I give them? Then the Torah specifies by Oiv Yedoyni two distinguished members of this Mechashvim fraternity. The reason why the Torah specifies these two, that they get misa, beskila, is to tell you not only them, but also the entire group of Mechashvim. Zukti Mara. So what do I see clearly from Rabbi Yehuda? That he does not learn smichus when these psukim appeared in Parshas Mishpatim in Shemais. But with Mishneh Torah, when it comes to Devarim, there he does dash it. Freitim Amenol the Darish. Where do I see that? Did not? Noisi Odom Anusas Ovim Umafutas Ovim. Anusas Benoi Umafutas Benoi. Rabbi Yehuda Oyser Banusas Ovim Umafutas Ovim. The Torah says that you're not allowed to go and marry your mother, and you're not allowed to go and marry Eishes Aviv. Layikach Ish es Eishes Aviv. So if a father has multiple wives, like they had before Rabbeinu Gershom, or even today, if Nebuch, a father has divorced someone's mother, or the mother has passed away, and now the father remarries, the son is not allowed to go and live with that woman. In other words, if subsequently, for instance, his father were to pass away, and leaves over the widow, the Eishes Aviv, even though he and she, the stepson, has absolutely no relationship with the stepmother, in terms of blood relationship, Nevertheless, he's not allowed to go and marry her. If he marries her, if he lives with her, he's oivali yikach ishes eishesav. That's a double pashut. What happens if the father wasn't such a nice guy, and instead of marrying another lady, he was ma'anis, he violated another lady, or he had a consensual relationship with another lady? I say the word lady is probably not appropriate, with another woman, with a female person. So what's the din about that? Says the Tanakhama, could subsequently the son marry that unfortunate lady, fortunate woman, that was violated by his father, or that was seduced, or they lived consensually? Is that permissible? The Tanakhama says yes. There is no iser of leikach ishes eishes of him, because she's not an isha. She's not an isha. She's an isha in the sense she's a woman, but she's not ishus. She's not a wife. And the Torah only asks that the wife of the father, not the woman that lived with the father. That's the reason for the Tanakhama. The same thing applies to Benoi, to his son. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees. He says, "Ois emanusus avim mafutus avim." He says that if his father lived with another woman without the benefit of kiddushin, it was out of wedlock, as we call it, what's the din? Then the son cannot go and subsequently marry that woman. What's the reason why? Now, this is no longer in Parshiyos Achrei Mois Kedoshim, where you would normally find these types of illicit relationships, but we find it in Parshiyos Kiseitze in Devarim. Lo yikach ishes eishes aviv. That we know, he can't go and marry the wife of his father. Lo yigale kenaf aviv. What means lo yigale kenaf aviv? Kanaf shiro aviv lo yigale. Now the word kanaf over here is used in a very euphemistic way. It means kanaf, of course, means the wing. Corner of a beged. It doesn't mean, we're not talking about the wing of a bird. We're talking about the corner of a beged. Al arba kanfis ksuscha shetchasaba. A kanaf psil techeles. Just like you have by tzitzis, you have a kanaf, you have arba kanfis. Many people call a talis cotton, they call it arba kanfis. Anyway, the point is, the word kanaf over here is used in the form of that he picked up the edge of her beged, or picked up the edge of the blanket, and he was megala her erva by going and living with her. So it's saying, kanaf shiro aviv lo yigala, even though it wasn't with the benefit of ishus with kiddushin, he just lived with her, whether he violated her or was done consensually, makes no difference. That's what the Torah means, lo yigala kanaf of it. Now, Freyti Yomara, umimai demanus aksiv, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that when it says in the Pasuk, yigala kanaf of it, that it's talking about anusas of it? Maybe it means something else. Umimai demanus aksiv, I'll tell you why, miluya dekra, tiksiv, right before that it says in the Pasuk, again in the same parasha, in parasha's kiseitze, v'nosonu isha shoychav imalavi anara chamishim kosev. This pasuk is talking about a normal case, an abnormal case of a person who violates a young lady. That's called his ma'aneser. That's the din of oynis and pitui. What's the din? He has to go and pay a knas of 50 kesef. And the next pasuk says, "V'samach lo yikach ish eshes aviv, v'lo yigale knas aviv." And therefore, just like the prior pasuk is talking about an anusa, that the man that's ma'anis the woman has to go and pay chamishim kosev. Also, this pasuk too, when it says v'lo yigale knas aviv, is also talking about anusa. So before we continue on, that's the right that Rabbi Yehuda holds that I do darshan smuchen in Devarim in Mishneh Torah, although he didn't darshan in Parshas Mishpatim. That's in Shmois, but he does darshan here in Kiseitze, which is in Devarim.
Why do they say only in Devarim he does, and in Shmos he doesn't? Maybe he only doesn't darshan it in Shmos, and maybe he does darshan it.
So let's wait to the bottom. I told you the Mitzvah in the bottom of the Amid. We're going to deal with this. Frank Dimar Rabban, he have the Samach Lekirik Amris. The Rabbanan say, I also agree to Smichas. After all, the Rabbanan hold the Smichas Kol HaTorah Kulo. But why don't I darshan the Smichas over here? Because it's not totally Samach. Hashta to loy samachle. In which respect is it not samachle? Because the previous pasuk Yitaka quoted correctly. That's talking about oynis. The next pasuk right after that, tichsiv in the parentheses, lo yikach ishes aviv, and then it says v'lo yigale knaf ovid. If it would say right after the loyikach, I'm sorry, right after the nosan isha sheichav ima lavi anara chav yishim kosav, and the next pasuk could say lo yigale knaf ovid, I would say you're absolutely on the money. I agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that's talking about anusas ovid. But there's a mechitza or a chatzitza in between. The words layikach ishes ishes ovim bein tayim, that establishes the equivalent of a Chinese wall or of an iron wall, an iron curtain in between the two, a Mexican wall, and therefore this second part has nothing to do with oinus because it's not tzmichas. There's something in between.
An interruption,
a commercial interruption in between doesn't allow you to go and dash in the smichas. So, Ibazoi, what is it talking about? Bishmeris Yavim, Akasim, Medaber, Vlaver, Olav, Bishne, Lavin. So, what's my Bishmeris Yavim? If a person has an uncle, and that uncle is married to a woman, that woman, of course, is his aunt. There's an iser to go and marry that aunt. In other words, if the uncle divorces or he passes away, you're not allowed to go and marry that aunt. How do I know you're not allowed to marry that aunt? The pasuk in Parashas Achronos, Ervas Achi Avicha Loisegale. Ervas Achi Avicha literally means the uncle, Achi Avicha, the brother, the father's brother. El Ishta Loisikrav. Don't get close to the aunt. Toidoschehi. So even though that's not a blood relation, it's only a tzidikim relation. In other words, this is an aunt that married his uncle. Nevertheless, there's an issur, you now let it go, and now. Now this issur, like 99% of all the issurim, continues on even if there is a severance of the relationship between the uncle and aunt. If the uncle passes away, the uncle divorces. Once an aunt, always an aunt. You always have to call her auntie, Nancy, auntie, Sarah, whatever you call her, and therefore she remains your aunt forever. So he's not allowed to go marry. So now what happens if, chas v'shalom, a person's uncle passes away and had no children, leaves that aunt, who's the aunt now fully even to the fellow's father? Okay, what happens now if this son is not a nice guy and he grabs that aunt and lives with her or marries her? What's the din? Number one, he's going to be over on this iser of Erves Achi Avicha Leisegalei Elish Leisekrav Dedoschei. So that's already iser number one. What the Gemara is telling us is now, according to the Rabbanan, he'll be over a second lav. What's a second lav? The fact that there is a zika. Zika means a connection between the Yavama and his father. It's like marrying Ashtikal father's wife. She's not a full-fledged wife yet. At the moment, she's only the Yavama of the wife. But that's what the pasuk means when it says, Le'ikach ishes, ishes of him, don't take the actual wife, and don't be megalik enough of it, the wife in waiting that Yavama. There's already a pre-existing iser because it's an an. The lava, all of which they love to go and give him to lava. Yes?
Under that situation, would his father have to give the woman Yavama if his son was with her?
If the
chalitza,
what you're saying is, if the son went and lived with the Yavama, would that affect the requirement of the father to go and be miyabim or be chayvet?
He can't be miyabim anymore now because now his son's lived with her, as it were.
He'd have to do chalitza.
What happens if anybody violates her? That takes away the mitzvah of the yibam or the chalitza. If the son went and married the aunt, that marriage would be inconsequential, irrelevant, because it's a chayove lav. It's chayove, it's isekaris, and ain't tulushin toivsim, but chayove krisis. Machloikis, you can tell me, Rekiva. Yeah, okay, we're talking about under normal circumstances. Yes?
I'm sorry, is there in this whole thing
let me just finish with
you. Yeah, go on.
And therefore,
what's the chayove on the father?
The father still, to my knowledge, he still has the same chiyuv of yibam or chalitza. If he finds marrying her repulsive because his son lived with her, he'll give her a chalitza. But it doesn't pater him, it doesn't exempt him from doing either yibam or chalitza. Just the fact that what happens if she went and did other bad things. She ate a piece of chazer flesh on Yom Kippur. Not a nice lady, but that doesn't take away the yibam or chalitza. So if he doesn't want to be miyabim, he don't give her a chalitza.
Good. But he can be evil. He could still do evil.
It's, to my knowledge, yes. I'm not aware of any reason why that would prevent him from doing evil.
Jeff, keep showing up. We have over 100 pages to figure this out, okay?
Yes. I was saying, I know it gets more confusing.
So this, but Daniel had a situation if he does eat book that he and his son were with the same woman.
The son is not going to stay with her. I mean, if
legally,
if he takes her away to Australia, he won't be able to miyabemur to michayetz. But assuming that they're in town, and assuming that the bezin has the enforcement powers, the bezin would say, "Get out of here! You have no right to do what you do." And if he continues living with her under two aidim, we're going to go and do what you got to do under such circumstances. I think it's only kares. I don't think it's misa b'dei shamayim. But at the very least, there's a lav over here, and therefore they would be able to go and give her. Go and give him and her malchus for violating the rules and regulations of the holy title. But it wouldn't go in, to my knowledge, it would not absolve the Yavam from his duty to go and either be Miyavim or to be Cholitz. Okay? If you're telling me that there's a physical impossibility because his son took him and they're living as husband and wife, and therefore he can't take her away.
Even if not that, even not husband and wife, just he was Mizayan with her.
Mizan, I understand. Okay, so you had a one night fling or whatever. Makes no difference.
And then the father still says, "I like her, I want her anyway." Then you have a situation where a father and a son was with the same woman. So
that's true.
You would think Rabbanan would compel a chalitza and not allow a yibuk just to avoid that.
I would think that the bezin would compel the son to get out of here and go to jail or move to somewhere else, a foreign country. But they were not going to stop the father because he has the legitimate halacha of having to be miyabim or to be chol.
So it's similar to a son, if a man, forget the previous issue, if a man seduces a woman,
yeah.
Is that woman now usher to his father? Now I'm talking about onus now. About just,
that's anusas benoi. That's the case here in the Mishnah.
Right. So why isn't this similar to anusas benoi? If the son, I mean, Jeff's question is kind of touching on this relationship. Here the man lived with a woman.
No.
So it happened she was also Shemeres Yavam to his uncle.
Right.
But remove that for a second. If it was it's already an erva. So Jeff's point is on point here. It's
you're asking whether the father could be miyabim because now it's a nusas benoi.
Right. Now it's an erva. His son has made this woman.
Look back at this Mishnah. One second, Jeff. Back at this Mishnah. Nan. Go back almost twice. Ten lines before. On that is a machloek. He says, "Also, no, you're not allowed."
I see. But only Rabbi Yehuda knows on that, but not on. Okay,
fine. Nusas benoi, nusas benoi. He's allowed to go and back. So since he's allowed.
Barry asked the question.
He comes to Moshe Urim. When you start coming to Moshe Urim,
show up in person. You get more electricity.
Anyway, Ariel is waiting online too. Okay, Ariel, you have a question.
I'm not sure if this is out of scope or not, but is there the concept of concubines or?
There's certainly is production, absolutely. But that's not argument. That's a different argument.
That's out of scope.
I wouldn't say out of scope, but it's not relevant to today's discussion.
Got it.
But now I'm sure that everybody is concerned. Especially Mendy, how come it says here in the Gemara that Le'yigale Knaf Oviv, that's referring to Shemeres Yavam? Where does the word Yavam appear anywhere in the Le'yigale Knaf Oviv? Right? Isn't that a good question? So the Rishash asks that question. And the Rishash says, we have a reference to that in Megillas Rus. It says in Rus that Boaz eventually was Miyavim the Rus, and it says in the Pasuk, Vatoimer Anoichi Rus Hamasecha Uferasta Chinofecha Al Amoscha Kigoyel Ota. I want you to spread your kanaf on me. What do you mean to spread a kanaf? That sounds like such a strange term. That's an allusion to Yibum Uferasta Chinofecha. When you spread your garment over me, that means that you're going to take me into your family in a very intimate way, and that's referring to your Degoyel Ota. You're going to go into Yibum. How do we know that what Boaz did is Yibum? It says later on. The gam esrus amayavia ishas machlin kunisi lili isha lahokim shame hames al nachlosoi v'leikaris shame hames me im echav. Oh, that's exactly what it says in the pasuk legabe yibam lahokim liachav shame be Israel. Therefore, when it says now in the pasuk lo yigale kanaf oven means don't go and disturb that kind of relationship of shemeres yavam that you have in Rus, and therefore you have a right that takatum shemeres yavam kosm adam. It's a nice raya. Yeah, maybe you can go and write it down. It's in the Rishash. You're very welcome. So now let's get back to our Gemara. Okay, so now put two dots over here just for a moment. What have we now established? We've established that there is an inyan of smuchin, that from smuchin we learned the inyan of eseh doich lois eseh. How do we know there's a din of smuchin? There's a pasuk in Tehillim, smuchin ad ha'olam. And not only do the regular rank and file, tanoim and amiroim, all of them agree to this inyan of smichas, but even Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, he's a dissident in this, and says we do not darshan smichas, that's called atera kula. But when you get to Mishnah Torah, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you darshan smichas. How do I know? From the fact that he said that this possibly, Galik and Aviv, is talking about an inyan of anusas Aviv, because right before that, the previous pasuk talked about the din of being ma'atz. Very good. Frank Dingmara now, four lines from the bottom. Mishnah Torah, my time of the Dorish. Why does Rabbi Yehuda decide that Mishnah Torah is different than all the other four Svarim in the Torah? So Gemara, Ibo Yisem Mishum De Muchach, Ibo Yisem Mishum De Mufni. Either because it's crystal clear, or because it's extra. Now before we continue, what the Gemara leaves kind of unsaid is that Mishnah Torah is very, very special. Because the word Mishnah Torah tells you that this is just a repetition. And 99% of Mishnah Torah of Devarim is repeating halachas that we've already learned throughout the Torah until that point. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu repeat it? So that it should be ingrained in all of us. Fine. But what really is special is now the order. Because if Hashem wants to repeat it, then repeat it, that's fine. But by repeating it and also putting together psukim that seem to be unrelated, that tell you that there's a special kavana over here. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. It's either because it's muchach or it's mufni. In other words, getting back to this specific one. It says over here, Lahikach ishes, ishes of, loyigale knaf of. Leikach ishes ishes over. Where does this come in Parshas Kiseitze? Achri Moisim Kedoshim each have 20-30 psukim telling you leikach and leigale and leikach and leigale, and if you are megale, what type of misa and oinshim and all the rest. The kimtis in the middle of Devarim and Kiseitze leikach ishes ishes over. I'll tell you why. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to add this special halacha of Anusas Aviv, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu juxtaposed, to use Ariel's expression of before, these two psukim together, the parsha of Oynis, that you have to pay Chamishim Kosef, and the next pasuk of Le'igalek Naf Aviv, to tell you a marriage made in heaven, that Le'igalek Naf Aviv is talking about the Anusas Aviv. So that's Muchach. It's Muchach by the fact that this is not set out in Achri Moisim Kedoshim, but it's set out in this form in Besmichus in Dvar. So that's the Muchach Svar. Dr. Yomar Vait of Yibay Seh Mishan Mufni. Then came Lichter Rachman Leigach Yishu Seh Shalav Leigal Kanaf Avav Lavali. L'choyra, if you learn this Poshit, the Posik, like you learned in Cheder, without learning how we've learned it now in the Gemara, I would have thought Leigal Kanaf Avav is just kind of a further extension, an explanation, explication, any fancy English word that you can think of the Yikach Ishes Eishes Ovid. The Torah is telling us, don't marry your father's wife. And because by doing so, you're being Megalik enough of it, you're doing, you're upsetting and interrupting an intimate relationship between a father and his wife, and that's a terrible thing. So, it's not necessary to have those words. It would have been fine, just Yikach Ishes Eishes Ovid. What do I need these words for? Oh, you know why Hashem repeated it in that form? Mami knows, coming to tell you, Le'af Nuyeh, that they're Mufna. Mufna means that they're extra. And what are they extra for? Like the top Rashi says, La'anusasoy shel ovid, the yalav mismuchim deli'el. Because it's Taka Mufna, then says Rabbi Yehuda, I will darshan smiches after all. With this, we have concluded that whole shtickle now of showing that even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally doesn't darshan smichas, here he darshan smichas. So therefore, going back to the original limud that we started at the top of the omid, leisil b'shanes gidilam tasaloch, we're going to go and darshan smichas because this is in Mishnah Torah. And now the Gemara is going to show once again why this is also ro'oi fit for darshaning with a smichas. Because it's nami. means that it's clear. As everybody knows, every day when we say the three parshas, both in Shachris and in Marib, the third parsha is the parsha of Tzitzis. Now, this parsha of Tzitzis, the words Gedilim Tas Aloch Al Arba Kafes Ksuscha, that should be in the parsha of Tzitzis. Why the parsha of Tzitzis, by the way, is in Bamidbar? I think it's parsha Shlach. Now, Shlach is far distant than Kiseitze in Dvarim. So why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu repeat this Gedilim Tasaloch over there? Is Muchach to tell you, we're going to darshan a special drasha. What's the drasha? Of Kilayim B'Tzitzis. The Ma'ilchus HaKosvi Hacha, therefore, what's the Tzitzis? Gedilim B'Tzitzis, tell you the Esed Doichalaisis. V'Yboise Mishim Nemufna, Mechli Kosav, Uvegit Kilayim Shatneich L'Yal Alecha. So now, we're putting aside Tzitzis for a moment, now we're going to focus on Kilayim. It says in the pasuk of Vayikra Yates, which I believe is in Achrei Mois, "Uvegit kalaim shatnes lo yale alecha," meaning don't wear shatnes. Now here in Devarim in Kiseitzei, it's repeated again. Loisil b'shatnes. That's how we started off the Gemara at the top. Loisil b'shatnes. Sem rofish tam yachtov and gedilim tasalach. Now this is really wolf. It's totally imbarik. I know already the iser of halo'as shatnes layala. What do I give loisil b'shatnes lomali shemam nulaf nuyay? And therefore that's why Rabbi Yehuda, although typically does not darshin kol ha'teira kulas michas. Here he would dash in smichas either because it's muchach or because it's mufna.
But usually we have azara and onshin, so repetition is frequent for that reason. So why are
where we? Do you find an onshin either of these two psukim?
To wear shatnes is a love.
A vader, but it's not telling you an onshin.
No,
what happens if you have just one pas? Vekilayim shatnes liyalalecha. Nothing more. Would you already be able to go and give him lashes because he's over on the Isra of Liyal Alechem?
You need both.
This pasuk tells you, anytime you have a lav in the Torah, unless it gives you a specific misa, and unless it's a lav she'ein boy masa,
right.
By definition, it always has the din of malchus.
Okay.
You don't need a repetition to pay that.
Okay.
Comes to tell you that it's mufta. One second, slowly. You tell me it's mufta. No, I need the repetition because it's not a repetition. If we only said the first pasuk, I would say that as long as you put it on your body in one form or shape or whatever, then you're over the din of shatness. Even people that are selling suits and they are the salesman and they're trying it on, and it could be that it's a very hot day and he's wearing an extra suit on top of his regular garments to be able to go and show it off to prospective purchasers, this person is not having any hano'o whatsoever. He doesn't want to wear it. As soon as the customer says yay or nay, he's going to take it off. I don't want to wear this garment, tat, whatever it is. So therefore, have a minute called derech halo, osrachman afil moichriksus. And I therefore would think that even a moichriksus would also be chayiv on wearing shatneis. Kosrachmanu lisil b'shatneis. That's why the Torah writes, lisil b'shatneis. Dumi and delevation, ispei hano. It's got to be that ispei hano. If you don't have hano, it's not a problem. There's another Gemara that says
that. What about the
winter? What about the venturi?
The winter is cold. It's subsecretion. It should make them warm. In the winter, he's not allowed to try it on.
If he is having hano'a, then avadi is over. You're absolutely right. The Gemara is positing a case where he's not having hano'a. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, if it would only say in the pasuk, uveg kalaim shatnes layal alecha, I would think not only when he wears it during the winter, when he's having hano'a, because it's giving him warmth, but even the summer when he's wearing it, I would think that he'd be over. Because even though it's not giving him warmth, but layal alecha, he's wearing it, so he's over. Kamash malon leisilbish, no, you're only over if it's ke'en levisha, the ispe hano'a. So that's why I need the second pasuk. Only the second possible. The nafesh on yosef. Maybe only oiver on shatnes if you're wearing the beged. Avhaloloi. What happens if you're not wearing it, but you're just getting the benefit? For instance, you're wearing it as a cape, or you are lying in bed and someone puts down on top of you a blanket made out of shatnes. I would say that's not levisha. That's just putting it on my body, but I'm not wearing it. That's why the pasuk has to say both. Therefore, bottom line, the Gemara says is, if the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning the pasuk, because it's mufna, it's not mufna at all. I need both the loyala and I need the loy silbash. And for the Gemara, in kein lichtu rachmona loy silbash shatnes, tzemer fishtem lomali. In this new pasuk in Kiseitze, it says loy silbash shatnes, tzemer ufishtem yachtav. What do I need to say with fishtem yachtav? Let it just simply say, leisul b'shatnes. If all we're coming to tell you is that even, that it's not only, that it's not a type of halah where there is no hanah, but leisul b'shatnes, it has to be a levisha, sheyesh by hanah, so let it just simply say, leisul b'shatnes, period. What it say with fishtem yachtav, lamali, mechdi kosef, ubegit kalayim shatnes, leyal alecha. After all, the first pasuk, ubegit kalayim shatnes, that's the pasuk back in Vayikra. Even though in that pasuk it doesn't say expressly that it means semer upishtim, but I know it means semer upishtim. How do I know? Because Tanu Rebbe Shmuel, holy the name of Betoyda Stam Bigodim, who part of the Chakos and Bechem Hem semer upishtim, I've called semer upishtim. What does he want me to say? The word beged appears in the Torah in a number of connections, and typically the pasuk just says beged. It doesn't explain to you what the fabric of that beged is. It could be wool, it could be linen, it could be cotton, it could be
leather,
silk,
leather
red, any red, one of red, a whole red, bunch of things. And therefore, the Torah never defines it. Tanur Rishmo says, I will define it for you. Anytime it's in the word beged in the Torah, it means semru fishtim. Where does Rabbi Shmuel take this from? Because I find in the parsha of Nigoim, Mitzvah, we're going to get to that in parsha Yoyz Tazriya Mitzvah, there it says, beged semer, oi the beged fishtim. How do I know that? That's the Rashi, the first, second of the narrow lines of Rashi. It says, beged semer, oi the beged fishtim. And therefore, I learned from that pasuk. Anytime you see the word begging in the Torah, automatically it should, the light should go on in your mind. Oh, it means tzemer or pishtim. So now let's get back to that first pasuk that we had back in Vayikra. Uveged kilayim shatnes layal alecha. So I ask you, I know that kilayim shatnes means that there's a mixture of two different fabrics. Which ones? Maybe it means cotton and silk. Maybe it means cotton and wool. How do I know it means tzemer or pishtim? Oh, that's a klutz kasha, says Tanur Rebbe Shmuel. I know that beged by definition means tzemer upishtim. I know that from Nigoyim, the beged tzemer, the beged upishtim. And since kilayim shatnes means mixing two together, a hybrid, oh, so it means tzemer upishtim yachdo. So Ibazoi, why now in Devarim does it have to repeat and say, I understand why it has to say loy silbash shatnes, to tell you like the Gemara said before, it's got to be dafka with hanor, and not just halor where there is no hanor, or deska where it's a hot day, or moichiksus, things of that nature. So I need, fine, maskim, I need loy silbash shatnes. But the tzemer fishtim yastov I don't need, because I know that from the word ubeged. Ah, tzemer fishtim, kasach, when Allah mali shma mino lafnuye, comes to tell you that this part of the pasuk is mufna, is extra, and therefore I can go and learn my essay doicha lois essay. Frank Timur Bakati Yitzrich. No, I still need the tzemer upishim. And that's why Kasarachmana Tzemeru Pishtim. What the Gemara is asking is, maybe these two psukim are in fact different. Uveged kilayim shatnes lo yale olecha. That's one pasuk. Lo yisul b'shatnes tzemer fishtim yachdav is a second pasuk. And they're two separate isurim. What are the two separate isurim? If it would only say uveged kilayim shatnes lo yale olecha, I agree. Tanur Rabbi Shmuel told me that the definition of beged means tzemer fishtim. However, if you're wearing shatnes, notice here it doesn't say uveged, it just says loisul beish shatnes. Oh, you can't wear shatnes. Maybe that means any two minim, not only tzemer fishtim. Number one, because it doesn't say beged. Number two, the reason why shatnes loyal alecha tzemer fishtim, that's because Allah doesn't give you that much hanor. It says the Torah, doesn't give me so much. No, I'm only going to restrict and limit that isur when you have tzemer ufishtim yachtim. However, when you're talking about levisha, by definition, anything that you wear gives you a certain degree of hana, whether it's a pretty attractive garment or not, doesn't make a difference. The point is, without garments, you're cold, you're embarrassed, you're shamed, or at least you should be embarrassed and shamed. Some people, unfortunately, are not. But you are normally embarrassed, so by having levisha, you have nofesh ani asa. So I might have thought, kol tri mini, asa rachmana. The Torah asked, asir any minim, not only tzemer, not only pishtim, but even cotton, and even oil, and even silk, any type of fabric. That's what I would have thought. That's why the Torah has to write Temer Pishtim over here by the case of the Silvash to go and tell you that even by Levisha, it's only a case of shatness if it's a mixture of Temer Pishtim, not if it's mixed from any other fabrics. So that being the case, I need a Temer Pishtim. Is the Chvaita not Mufna? If it's not Mufna, how can I learn my Esa Deichaloy Sasa? So Timura, in Kenishtach Krominei, Vetezi Shatnes Shatnes Mehalah, says the Timura, I still don't need Temer Pishtim, because I can learn it from Exayda Shuvah. What's Exayda Shuvah? The first boss, he says, Elkelayin Shatnes Leyal Alecha. And everybody agrees that Shatnes means Temer Pishtim. How do I know? Because it says the word Beged. So the second time when it says in Devarim, Lysilvish Shatnes, automatically lights go up in my mind. What's the definition of Shatnes? Oh, I know from Vayikra that Shatnes means Semer Fishtim. So therefore I would say Avada here in Devarim also means Semer Fishtim. Semer Fishtim Yachtav Lomali is Laf Nuye, it's extra, to tell you that we darshin the Asay Doicha Lysesa. Pray to Yomara. But turn to Rabbi Shmuel. Taimed the Kosar Rachmana Semer Fishtim. Your raya is from the extra word semer pishtim. I don't need that. I would learn it from the zayda shuba shat neshatnes. Halav hachi kilayim betzitzis have a mina the oser rachmana. Otherwise, without the semer pishtim, I wouldn't have laafnuye. I wouldn't have my esei doich halois esei, and I would think therefore that shatnes betzitzis is oser. That's what I would have thought. Says Yomar, why would I have thought that? Forget about devarim. And Kiseitze, let's go back to the parsha of Tzitzis in parsha Shlach. Voksiv v'osu lehem Tzitzis al kanfi v'deyam l'deroysem and nosu al Tzitzis akona psil d'cheles. The pasuk that we repeat every single day, at least two times a day. Some people say it three times a day, etc. So what does it say in the pasuk? V'osu lehem Tzitzis, you make Tzitzis. Al kanfi v'deyam. Oh, remember, B'tandar B'Shmol, whenever you see the word beged, kol b'godim, tzemer ufishtim heim. Ah, so the Torah tells us put tzitzis on knofim, on the corners of a beged. And beged means tzemer ufishtim. Okay, so far I don't know shatnas yet. But of the Omer Rachmana, of it like tcheilis. The Torah says you put on a psil tcheilis. And tcheilis means blue wool, aquamarine wool, of course, from the chalazai. But it's wool. Utcheilis amrahu. And tcheilis, by definition, is amra. Amra is the same word as tzemer in Aramaic. Tzadik sometimes becomes an ayin. So therefore, amrahu means that it's wool. And we're saying that the beged, tzitzis al kanfi vigdeyim, that the beged is both a tzemer beged or a pishtim beged. And the tchelis is certainly wool. So I'm putting wool onto pishtim. So I have a case of kilayim. Therefore, says the Gemara, the chayim don't need the whole tzemer of pishtim and the whole pasuk in parshas. Dvarim in Parashas Kiseitze. I don't even need the whole limud of Esei Doicha Loi Sesa, whether it's Yom Mufna, Nish Mufna, forget about it. Let's assume that there's no pasuk at all of Leisil B'Shatnes and Gedilim Tassala. Anyway, I know the din of Kilayim. I know from the Parasha of Tzitzis in Bamidbar Tezvav in Shlach, because it says, put your tzitzis on Bideihem. Beged means both Tzemer and Pishtan. And I'm putting on Tcheles, which is Amrahu, which is wool. Wool and linen, that's Shabbos. So I don't need the whole drosha from Parashas Kiseitzim. How do you know that Tcheles, in fact, is Tzemer? Maybe Tcheles is something else. Says, you want to know that? I know for sure. But the Sheish Kisna, Tcheles Amrahu, since Sheish is Pishton, then Tcheles means wool. Where do we talk about Sheish over here? So there's a fairly lengthy Rashi where it goes through a couple of drushes. Basically what Rashi says is that there's a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel Then Yecheskel says that on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol pisht big day pishtem yilbishu for lo yala aleihem tzemer. All the begodim, those are the big day lovan, they are all pishtem, they're all made out of linen, and no tzemer. And in fact, that's what it says in the beginning of Parashas Achri Mois, when it tells us about the avoid on Yom Kippur. It says the word bad a few times to emphasize that each time it's got to be dafke bad. Ksoinis bad koyish yilbash, bad koyish. That's ksoinis, that's the tunic. Ubnichnasei vad, nichnasei. That's bad. I'm sorry. Uv avnate bad, that's the gartel, avnate bad yachter. Uv mitznef is bad yitznef, and the hat. All bad. Everything is bad, 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 bad. Good. Bad, says Rashi, is also synonymous with the word sheish. How do I know it's synonymous with the word sheish? It says, ubnichnasei vad. Sheish morzor. So it says bad and sheish morzor together, so I know that the word sheish means linen. Now it says by the regular big day kahuna that one wears throughout the year, it says that those begodim are made out tcheles, argomon tilashoni, uva sheish. I know sheish means linen because of that passage that we just quoted, umichla say bad, sheish morzor. So therefore, sheish means bad, which means, I don't know that bad means linen. Says Rashi, because in Gemara Dash, it's in Yuma, it's dobra oile bad bibad. When you grow linen, or you grow pishton, like flax, flax doesn't come out multiple together in one, each one comes out individually in the growth process. Anyway, more in the substitute. So therefore, bad means linen, and therefore sheish means linen. And we're saying that the big day kahuna throughout the year have both Semer and Pishtun. How do I know they're both Semer and Pishtun? Because in Yom Kippur it says, make sure it's only Pishtun and no Semer. But throughout the year it was both. Now what does it say in the Pasuk? Tcheles Agom and Tlashoni Uva Sheish. Since Sheish is referring to Pishtun, Muzdav Zayin, the Tcheles and Agom and Tlashoni is all wool. Ah, so that's how I know the Tcheles Amro. That's the long Rashi there in the middle of the Amr. So getting back to our Gemara, so Tcheles Amro. We might Tcheles Amro, but the Sheish Kisna is Tcheles Amro. Zoi bazoi, Frank to the Gemara, what do I need the whole limit for that we started off with at the top of the Omid Aleph? Loi silba shatnes, temra fishtim yachtav, kidilim tasalach, that I'm learning from the smuchen la'ad la'oilam, that is the din of asei doichaloi sesa, forget about it. If that pasuk didn't exist, I would still know that there's shatnes betzitzis. From the fact that it says, vasulam tzitzis alkanthi bigdeyem, and a begin means temra fishtim, and I'm putting on tcheles, so wool together with linen, that shatnez. This is where it's true. No, I do need the pasuk in Kiseitze after all. So, goodbye to come in the Kidderov, the Rav, and Rav, the Ksiv, the Chadchastira. Hakonath min konath. Uksiv temru fishtim, hakeitzad. What does he want me to say? The pasuk that we quoted before. Basulahem tzitzis, al kanthi videyam lederoisem, benosnu al tzitzis hakonath psiltachemis. What's the Russian al tzitzis hakonath? Darish and Rava Hakona means min konath. It's got to be the same min as the konath. So if the konath happens to be, Rashi says, meshi means that it's made out of silk, then the tzitzit should be made out of silk. And if the tzitzit and if the konath, the beged is made out of wool, then the beged and the tzitzit should be made out of wool. So on and so forth. The Rava Rami, ksiv hakonath, min konath, uksiv tzemru fishtim. But we have in the pasuk dilim tasaloch, and it says semru fishtim. Number one, because the kodesh of Yishmael al kanfin bidehem, and begin means semru fishtim, and also from the juxtaposition from the pasuk in Devarim, we silver shot the semru fishtim yachtuv semru fishtim, and then it says dilim tasaloch. So on the one hand, I say it's got to be min konav, and the other hand, I say it has to be semru fishtim. So make up your minds, okay, sir. Semru fishtim point to bein minan bein shiloi bein minan. If you have begin of Semru Pishtim, as well as tzitzis of Semru Pishtim, that part is being Meminim Ben Shalom Meminim. Meaning, what happens if I have a talis which is made only out of cotton, like many people wear today, cotton talisim kitanim, totally made out of cotton, but the tzitzis, they're made out of tzemer, wool tzitzis. This is wool, this is cotton, it's not min konav. You don't have to, when it comes to Semru Pishtim, poichim bein Meminim Ben Shalom Meminim. Shar Meminim, however, if you have other types of cloth, beminan poitin, shaloi beminan ain't poitin. Then it's got to be dafka beminan and shaloi beminan ain't poitin. If you have that same cotton tzitzis, it's cotton beged, if I put on cotton on it in terms of the strands, in terms of the tzitzis, that's fine, that's minan. If I put in temru fishtim, that's fine, beminan, shaloi beminan. But if I were to go and put on silk tzitzis on a cotton beged, or I put cotton tzitzis on a silk beged, no good. That would not be good. Minim poitin shloim, minim ein poitin. Good. Anyway, so bottom line is what our Gemara says. I would think we learn like Rava. Okay, tzitzim and pishtim. Okay, fine. So if I'm going to learn like that, kum techois, that I do not need to make the beged out of tzemer upishtim, because of the word hakonof, I can learn it from any type of beged. Any type of beged. It could be cotton and anything else. So that being the case, getting back to Atana the Rebbe Shmuel, it's not Iberik. Iberik means it's not superfluous. I do need the Pasik Temer Fishim to tell you this halacha, that Temer Fishim point me mina mech shloim mina. If it's not Iberik, then right, I don't have the basis of making an assay, doich aloi says it. Frank Timor, but then Rebbe Shmuel, lastly the Rebbe. He doesn't even hold of Rebbe. What means he doesn't hold the Rebbe? Because then Rebbe Shmuel says you can only use a beged of tzemer upishtim. And you cannot go and use it from cotton, and you cannot go and make it from silk. I was sitting in Hakonov. It's Rechsoka Daita Chamanikin, the Yukon, the Rebbe, Hakonov, Minkonov. I would think that what means Minkonov? V'alchikom Rachmanov. Ovid le'tzemer, le'tzemer, upishtim, le'pishtim. What does that mean? Rebbe Shmuel, since he learns that the word beged always means tzemer upishtim. And it says, v'oslem tzitzis al kanfavik deyem, means it's got to be a beged of tzemer upishtim. What do we do with the fact that it says hakonav? I would use that hakonav of Rava to go and tell you that it's got to be tzitzis of tzemer for tzemer, and tzitzis of pishtim for pishtim. V'chi avidas tzemer le'tzemer, sovei. When you're making, in fact, woolen tzitzis for a woolen beged, go and color some of them tcheles by using the chilot. Avotemel pishtun pishtun letemer loy. I would think that you do not put tcheles on a pishtun beged. And when it says in the Torah that you put a konof psil tcheles, it's only if it's hakonof psil tcheles. If it's the same min temer and temer, not if it's temer and pishtun. I agree with you. Tcheles has to be made out of wool temer, for sure. But you only put tcheles if it's the same min konof, where the beged is also wool, made out of wool. So wool and wool go together. And therefore I would not know the din of kilayim of shatnis, because rachmana, tzemer ufishtim. The Torah now says the word tzemer ufishtim, which are unnecessary, because I could have learned them shatnis legzeir reshova. Why did the Torah repeat tzemer ufishtim? That for the tzemer ufishtim, ufishtim la tzemer, that you have an asay, doicha lois asay. So bottom line is the Gemara went through a number of hoops to establish that it's lafnuye, that it's mufna, and the final hoop that the Gemara finally landed up with is the fact that it's a shatnes shatnes. It was not necessary to repeat the temer pishtim over here, and especially according to Tamar Rishmal, to learn that the beginning always made temer pishtim. So I have my excellent Zeta Shava. I don't need the temer pishtim repeated here in Dvarim. The reason why it's repeated is to go and tell you the din of asay doicha lois asay, that klein betitzis is mutter, because the mitzvah of titzis overrides the love of kilayim. With this, we conclude. And tomorrow, we're going to go on to the Rabbanan. Have a wonderful day, boys.